بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبد الله تعالى ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولو أن ما في الأرض من شجرة أقلام والبحر يمده من بعده سبعة أبحر ما نفذت كلمات الله إن الله عزيز حكيم. We commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask him Jalla wa Az to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I advise myself, I admonish myself, and then all of you all present here, to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be conscious of Him azza wa jal during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He azza wa jal make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. Insha'Allah ta'ala, today's khutbah is going to be about fiqhul ikhtilaf or adabul ikhtilaf, understanding difference of opinion, the jurisprudence of difference of opinion, and also in regard to the etiquettes of the difference of opinion that is prevalent in our religion. It has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the discussion will insha'Allah ta'ala revolve around the tafsir of Basmala, the tafsir of one ayah, otherwise known as Basmala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The tafsir will revolve around this particular ayah insha'Allah ta'ala. As you all know, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is a very powerful ayah. It can be translated as, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And according to linguists, according to the scholars who are specialized in the field of Nahav, in other words, in the Arabic language, grammar, you have something known as grammar. They state that just before Bismillah, you have a verb that is hidden. It is not apparent, it has not manifested itself, it's hidden. And you can place it as Abida'u Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Basically, I begin or I commence whatever I'm doing, I commence in the name of Allah. Aqra'u Bismillah. I read in the name of Allah. I eat in the name of Allah. I'm perhaps driving in the name of Allah. So before we do anything, we start off with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this particular ayah, like I said, it can be translated as in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. A powerful ayah that goes a long, long way back. And according to reports, I mean, we can say things of the history, but then we always have to have evidence to back our statements. It goes all the way back to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. To Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the noble Quran, the great Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he strove hard in terms of his nation, in terms of propagating the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amidst his nation. He strove hard for 950 years. Allahu Akbar. And then towards the latter stages, Allah Azza wa Jal, He commands Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam to prepare a ship. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he did as he was commanded. And then when the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala befell that particular nation, he was commanded to board the ship. And what does Allah Azza wa Jal state in the Noble Quran? وَقَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرَيْهَا وَمُرْسَاهَا. He was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go about the ship in the name of Allah. In the name of Allah. So this particular verse, this particular ayah goes back even to Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And in terms of the tafsir, in terms of the explanation of this particular verse, if you look at the books, such as the book of Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah, his famous book, Al-Jami' li Ahkam al-Qur'an, Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah, his tafsir, in his book, beautiful book, amazing words, he rahimahullah deduces almost up to a 25 deductions in regard to Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. 25 masail, 25 deductions in regard to Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So let's start off with the first mas'ala that is generally mentioned across the books of tafsir when we talk about basmala, when we talk about Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, you have to clearly understand that it has been unanimously agreed by all the scholars, rahimahumullah, that basmala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, is part of an ayah of Surah An-Naml. It is part of an ayah of Surah An-Naml, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Noble Quran in Surah An-Naml, in regard to the story that took place between Sulaiman and the queen. The queen, her name is reported to have been said as Balqis. Between her and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, where Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he sends a letter to this particular queen. And then Allah Azza wa Jal mentions her statement in the Noble Quran.
قَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ إِنِّي أُلْقِيَ إِلَيَّ كِتَابٌ كَرِيمٌ إِنَّهُ مِنْ سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ.
She calls all of her courtiers, her viziers, her ministers, and she says, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ إِنِّي أُلْقِيَ إِلَيَّ كِتَابٌ كَرِيمٌ. A message, a very noble message has been delivered unto me. إِنَّهُ مِنْ سُلَيْمَانَ. It is from Sulaiman, and the letter, the message commences, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. أَلَّا تَعْلُوا عَلَيَّ وَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he writes, do not exalt yourself over me, but rather come to me as a Muslim. All of you come to me as Muslims, submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nonetheless, the point that I wanted to highlight, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is part of an ayah in Surah An-Naml. This has been unanimously agreed by all the scholars, rahimahumullah. But as for Basmala being part of, or rather, Basmala being the beginning of every surah, as well as Surah Al-Fatiha, now this the scholars have differed. The scholars have differed as to whether Basmala is the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha, as well as whether Basmala is the first ayah of all other surahs. The scholars have differed. And you have three very famous schools of thoughts. Let me mention them inshallah ta'ala. Three famous opinions. You have the first opinion that states, and the people, the Ahlul Ilm, rahimahumullah, the scholars who go by that first opinion, who have stated that the first opinion, they state that Basmala is, yes indeed, a part of Surah Al-Fatiha. I hope you are all with me. The first opinion is that yes, Basmala is a part of Surah Al-Fatiha. And it is upon every scholar, every person of knowledge, that they do not give statements out of their own pockets. When they say something, they always back it with evidence. They have evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is the amana of knowledge, the amana of deen. You can't just say what you want in regard to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to say something, you have to back it with evidence. When you go through the aqwalul ulama, the statements of our scholars, our salafun salih, our pious predecessors, you would always come to a conclusion that if they say something, they would have evidence to back it. They would have evidence to back it. So this first group of scholars, And they consist of scholars, the likes of Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, and others. They state that Basmala is indeed a part of Surah Al-Fatiha. Basically, it is the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha. And what is their evidence? What is the evidence that they bring about? There is a hadith. The evidence that they quote, from the evidences that they quote, is one particular hadith that is recorded in the book of Imam Dar-Qutni, rahimahullah, and others as well. And our Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah, has classed it as sahih in his book, Silsilatu Sahihah. He has classed it as sahih. This particular hadith, the hadith goes along the lines of these words. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, إِذَا قَرَأْتُمْ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. When you read Surah Al-Fatiha, when you read Surah Al-Fatiha, read Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. You're supposed to read Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to state the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha, and towards the end of the hadith, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Bismillah is one of its verses. That Basmala is one of the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha. Nas sarih. We have clear-cut textual evidence from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like we just stated, authentic hadith, classified as an authentic hadith. So this is the evidence quoted by the first group of scholars, that yes, Basmala is part of Surah Al-Fatiha. It's basically the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha. Now, as for the other scholars who deem, we will discuss inshallah, who deem that Basmala is not part of Surah Al-Fatiha, because there are other scholars, rahimahumullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them with the highest ranks in Jannah. There are those who deem that Basmala is not part of Surah Al-Fatiha. The scholars who discuss this ikhtilaf, they state that there could be a possible reason that perhaps this particular hadith may have not reached those scholars. Allah. Now you might be wondering, Shaykh, how can you say that? This particular hadith did not reach great scholars of the past? Is that even possible? Yes, it is possible. So how about quoting an example? And let me tell you something. It was even possible, it took place during the time of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. There were certain statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that reached some of the Sahaba and did not reach some of the Sahaba. Allahu Akbar. It reached some of the Sahaba, whilst it did not reach some of the Sahaba. Let me give you a modern day example. Say if I were to say something, you are all here in the masjid, alhamdulillah. You are all witnesses to my statement. But those who perhaps have gone for Jum'ah to the Dahiwala Masjid, or the Masjid by Nimal Road, or the Masjid at Bagasale Road, they will not be witnesses to my statement. You will all be witnesses to my statement. Likewise, amidst the Sahaba, there were those Sahaba like Anas radiallahu anhu, who is reported to have said that I served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. We have Sahaba like Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who are always by the side of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then again you have Sahaba like Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, who was always in the battlefields. You have Sahaba like Umar radiallahu anhu, who had other commitments as well to attend to. So they were not with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the time. So that's why we see that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he is the Sahabi who narrates the most amount of ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all times. Now let me give you an incident from the life of Umar radiallahu anhu. This was after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Umar radiallahu anhu and a huge number of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they were about to enter the lands of Sham. When they got wind of a piece of information that there was a plague, a contagious plague, a contagious disease that had struck the lands of Sham. So immediately Umar radiallahu anhu, he issued an order to all the troops, to all the companions, do not enter the lands of Sham. Do not enter the lands of Sham. Because we have received intel, we have received information that there is a contagious disease, a contagious plague that is going on. We would not want our companions, our troops to be infected by that particular disease. So do not enter the lands of Sham. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, another great Sahabi, Allahu Akbar. He goes to Umar radiallahu anhu, and in a very respectable way he asked him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, afiraram min qadarillah? Are you running away from the decree of Allah? Are you running away from the decree of Allah? If it is decreed by Allah, if it has been decreed that we are to be infected, then whether we go in there or whether we stay away, it is the decree of Allah, we will be infected. Umar radiallahu an, amazing words. He replies, he says, we are running away from the qadr of Allah towards the qadr of Allah. Amazing words, eloquent, deep, profound words. We are running away from the qadr of Allah towards the qadr of Allah. In other words, we are running away from a sickness towards safety. This has also been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that we have decided to head back and not enter the lands of Sham has also been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there was a slight difference of opinion between these two companions. Slight difference of opinion. Then comes about a great sahabi, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiyallahu anhu. He goes and he says, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam say. Now he places a hadith. Now the minute we have the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, there is no dispute now. Umar radiallahu an immediately backs off. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu an immediately backs off. Let us hear what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in this regard. Now what do we understand from this? This particular statement, this particular narration that Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu is going to narrate now was a narration that Umar radiallahu anhu had not heard of. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, two great companions, they had not heard of this narration. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, he had heard it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he goes on to narrate the narration. The narration goes along the lines of these words of كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that if you hear of a contagious disease that has spread in a particular city, in a particular land, and if you are outside that land, do not enter that land. Do not enter that land. Words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And say, perchance if you are in a land that where now a disease has spread, a contagious disease has spread, a plague has spread, do not leave that land. Words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which made everything crystal clear. Crystal clear. So from this we understand that there is always a possibility, and this is one of the main reasons why there is at times a difference of opinion amidst scholars, where perhaps this particular narration may have not reached a certain scholar, and he gave out his opinion based on the narrations that he had heard or that he had with him from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I hope it's clear in terms of opinion number one. We move to opinion number two. And this is the opinion of great scholars like Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, the Ustad, the Shaykh of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. He deems that he and the scholars with him who are with this opinion, they state that Basmala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, is an ayah from the ayat of all the surahs, except all of the surahs, except for Suratul Fatiha. So he deems it as an ayah from all the other surah, from all the other chapters except Suratul Fatiha. So basically, if you go according to this opinion, then you have 113 ayat now with you, because Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim becomes part of every other surah except for Suratul Fatiha. Now what is their evidence? What is their dalil? What is their proof? We have a narration. Anas radiallahu anhu, he mentions that once we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we were observing him, he took a small nap. Allah, how I envy the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, that they got to sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, a small slumber. He was seated with them, but he started to doze off a little. May my mother, my father, and myself be ransomed for him, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He started to doze off a little. And then suddenly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he wakes up, he looks up, and he starts to smile. His face, he was beaming away, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And according to the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when he used to smile, he would illuminate the area that he was in. He would illuminate the area, his face used to be so radiant, it would be like a piece from the full moon, Allahu Akbar, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He was beaming away, he was smiling. The Sahaba, Anas radiallahu anhu included, they all asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, what is it that is making you smile like this? What is it that has made you smile like this? Why are you so happy, Ya Rasulullah? Please tell us as well. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went on to inform the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in along the lines of these words, O my Sahaba, a surah, a chapter was revealed unto me just now. A chapter was revealed unto me just now. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to read the ayat that were revealed unto him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine. Listening to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read the ayat. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, when we go through the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I implore you, do not skim over the ahadith. Just imagine, just put yourselves in the shoes of the Sahaba. They were all seated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just imagine. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he dozes a little and then he gets up and he starts to smile and he says, a surah was revealed unto me just now. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started to read. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Allahu Akbar. He starts to read. And how does he start off the surah? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli lirabbika wanhar inna shani'aka huwal abtar. He reads these three ayat and he started off the surah by reading Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So this is the evidence used by this group of scholars, rahimahumullah. They state that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started to read the surah, he started off the chapter by reading Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So based on this, we state that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is part of every surah other than Surah Al-Fatiha. The final group of scholars, and oh, before we go into that, in terms of the first ayah of that surah, Inna a'tayna kal-kawthar. So the Sahaba, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, what is al-kawthar? What is al-kawthar? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in other narrations as well, he went on to describe al-kawthar. Al-kawthar, min nahri al-jannah. It is a river. It is a stream from the streams of Jannah. The sides of the stream are made of gold. Allahu Akbar. The sides of the stream are made of gold. And its bed, where the water runs, the bed of that stream is made of pearls, gems and valuable, priceless jewels. Allahu Akbar. The water, it's sweeter than honey. It is sweeter than honey and whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. And its goblets, the goblets that will be used to serve the water from that fountain, from that stream, from that river, amount to the number of the stars. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself will give us to drink, to quench our thirst from that particular river. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the opportunity to drink from that amazing stream. Ameen, ameen. From the hands of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, moving on to the third opinion. And this opinion, scholars, the likes of Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and others, they are of the opinion that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is not part of Surah Al-Fatiha, nor is it part of any of the other surahs. This is their opinion. And what is their evidence now? Because like we said, we mentioned Dala'il, we mentioned the proofs and evidences used by the other scholars. And like I said in the beginning, no scholar will state something unless he has evidence from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or obviously evidence from the Quran to back his statement. So these scholars, rahimahumullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and grant them the highest stages in Jannah, they state, we have a hadith that has been recorded in the book of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. And this particular hadith, the narrator is none other than Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. He states, and it is a hadith Qudsi. I'm sure most of you are aware what a hadith Qudsi is. A hadith Qudsi is basically the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have been reported through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is not considered Quran. It is not considered Quran. It is from the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In regard to this particular hadith, the narration goes along the lines of these words, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ. I have divided a salah. A salah, in the sense scholars explain, that Surah Al-Fatiha. What is intended here is Surah Al-Fatiha between myself and my slave into two halves. Into two halves. I have divided Surah Al-Fatiha between myself and my slave into two halves. So much to the extent that when my slave reads, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. When my slave says, all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, I reply to my slave by saying, my slave has praised me. My slave has praised me. And when he reads, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, I say, my slave has extolled me. My slave has lauded me. And when he says, Maliki Yawmiddin, I reply unto him, my slave has glorified me. My slave has exalted me. And when he says, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'een, you alone we worship and you alone we seek help, ya Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by saying, this is a request between my slave and me. This is a request between my slave and me, and for my slave is what he asks. I will respond to my slave. Allahu Akbar. So we need to understand, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, when you are in salah, there are those, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ, there are those who skim through the ayat like parrots. They start off at the first ayah and then they are at وَلَى الظَّالِينَ in a matter of seconds. You need to understand that every ayah that you read beautifully, your Lord, your Maker, your Protector, your Curer, your Nourisher, your King, the Lord of all worlds, He is responding to every verse that you read. We have to go into the inner dimensions of salah. At times many of us, we are very worried about the fiqh of salah, the jurisprudence of salah. We are worried about how our postures need to be. Yes, you need to be worried. And likewise, you need to be worried about your inner dimensions of salah as well. The spiritual aspects of salah. Allahu Akbar. You need to be worried about it. You need to imagine yourself that you're obviously in front of the King of all kings, you're reading. And He is responding to every verse that you read. Think of it, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. So coming back to the third opinion, these scholars, they state, look at the hadith Qudsi. It starts off, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. No mention of Basmalah. No mention of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So based on this, they state that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is not part of Surah Al-Fatiha. And then they have another narration. And this particular narration has been recorded by Anas radiallahu anhu. A very clear narration. He states that I prayed behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Listen to me attentively. Don't doze, get up and listen to only half of what I said and misquote me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. I prayed behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I prayed behind Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. I prayed behind Umar radiallahu anhu. I prayed behind Uthman radiallahu anhu. And none of them read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Instead, they started off, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. None of them read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Anas radiallahu anhu, authentic hadith. I prayed behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I prayed behind Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. I prayed behind Umar radiallahu anhu. I prayed behind Uthman radiallahu anhu. And none of them read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. They started off Surah Al-Fatiha. And then they also use the evidence, Amalu Ahlil Madina. They state, from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, until the time of Imam Malik ibn Anas rahimahullah, because he was Imam Ahlil Madina, Imam Malik rahimahullah. He was the Imam of the people of Medina. And until today, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, they state that in the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, between the walls of the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, whenever you see an imam conducting, they conduct and they start off by saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen in accordance to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, What I want to highlight here is, look at the difference of opinion amidst the scholars. Look at the difference of the opinion amidst the scholars. That there is no issue in this regard. A difference of opinion is tolerated. It is welcome in our deen as long as it is not in the fundamentals of our deen. We do not have a difference of opinion in regard to our aqaid, in regard to our belief system. As to whether Allah is one or two, do we have a difference of opinion? Will you see a difference of opinion amidst the scholars? No. Allah is one and only. Allah is one and only. In terms of the belief system, in terms of the fundamentals of our deen, we do not have any difference of opinion. But as for the furu'at, as for the branches of deen, as for ibadah for example, as for certain ahkam, yes, a difference of opinion is tolerated as long as you have evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to back your statement. Today, we find people, sadly, who are not firmly grounded in knowledge. You and I, we are all students of knowledge. We cannot claim to be giants. We cannot claim to be scholars. We cannot claim to be muhaddithun. We cannot claim to be great imams. No, we are not. We are students of knowledge, mere students of knowledge. We start to bicker, we start to point fingers, we start to say this imam is wrong, that imam is wrong, this imam is correct, that imam is correct. And we start to cause so much of issues amidst the ummah, so many divisions, so many factions, because we don't know how to respect the difference of opinion amidst the scholars. We don't know how to respect the difference of opinion amidst the scholars. Let me give you an amazing quote, profound words. These words need to be recorded in gold. These words need to be recorded in gold because such beautiful words of Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, Abu Hamid Al-Ghazali rahimahullah. He states, لو سكت من لا يعلم لسقط الخلاف. If only the ones who do not possess knowledge, if only the ones who are not firmly grounded in knowledge, if only the ones who do not have knowledge keep quiet, if only they kept quiet, and if only they stayed away from scholarly discussions, from scholarly debates, from scholarly meetings perhaps, لسقط الخلاف. Disagreement would come to an end. Disagreement would come to an end. Today, sadly, those who do not have firm knowledge in terms of the Arabic language, in terms of understanding the Quran and the Sunnah, in terms of deducing rulings, in terms of deducing commentary from the Quran and the Hadith, they start to give out fatwas. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, his report to have said, "Man afta fi kulli shay'in fa huwa majnun." Man afta fi kulli shay'in fa huwa majnun. The one who gives out a fatwa in every little thing, whenever somebody comes to ask him something, oh, this is my fatwa in this regard, this is my fatwa in that regard. Oh, you know what? I think that it has to be like this. Or I feel that it's supposed to be like that. Maybe that hadith is weak. Maybe that hadith is authentic. You don't have any knowledge whatsoever, but you start giving out fatwas. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, the individual who gives out fatwas for every little thing, فَهُوَ مَجْنُونَ. He is a madman. He is a lunatic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, when we go back to the scholars of the past, like Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Imam Malik rahimahullah, giants in terms of their fields of expertise, Allahu Akbar. Once Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, he took Imam Ishaq ibn Rahaway, or Rahoya as some pronounce his name, he took him and went to the gathering of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. Imam Shafi'i, a great Imam. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was a student of Imam Shafi'i. He goes to his gathering and Imam Ishaq ibn Rahway, he asks Imam Shafi'i a question in regard to lugha, in regard to the Arabic language, and Imam Shafi'i answered. Because he was a pinnacle, a leader in terms of the Arabic language. He was an amazing expert. They asked him something in regard to tafsir, he responded. They asked him something in regard to hadith, he responded. They asked him something in regard to fiqh, he responded. He was an expert across all the fields, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. But then one day, somebody went to Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah and asked him a question. A question. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he kept quiet. The man said, "Ya Imam, can you please answer my question?" The Imam, he kept quiet. The man said, "Ya Imam, please respond." Then the Imam looked at him and said, "Please give me a few moments." The man said, "Okay, but can I know why?" Then the Imam said, "I'm just contemplating. I'm just thinking as to whether it would be quiet, it would be better for me to keep quiet, or whether it would be better for me to respond in this regard." Allahu Akbar. If such great Imams thought so much, then how about you and I? We at times let our tongues run loose. We don't care about causing a division in the Ummah. We don't care about perhaps causing a rift in the Ummah. We just want to utter what we have to say. We want our opinion to reign over the table. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. There was once a student of Imam Malik rahimahullah who traveled with Imam Malik. Imam Malik, like I said, Imam Ahlil Madina, a great Imam, the Ustad, the Shaykh of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. This student was traveling with Imam Malik rahimahullah, and he said, "I asked the Imam in regard to 48 masail. I asked the Imam in regard to 48 matters, 48 issues. And the Imam responded for 32 of them by saying," he asked 48 questions, and the Imam responded for 32 of those questions by saying, "La adri," I do not know. I do not know. Imam Malik rahimahullah. Today some of us, illa man rahimahullah, except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed and made them as an exception. Many of us, we find it demeaning to say, "La adri," I don't know. When someone asks a question, "Oh, you know, I think it's like this, I think it's like that." We even find it demeaning to say, "Let me refer my books and let me get back to you. Let me perhaps ask my shaykh, my ustad, my teacher and get back to you." We find it demeaning. We want to answer the question. We want to act as if we are all Mr. Know-it-alls. But this was never the case with the scholars of the past, As-Salafun As-Salih. It was never ever the case. Once an individual went to Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he was one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so ardently, so ardently. There is one report that he was once traveling with an individual, and suddenly whilst they were traveling, he was on his mount and they were traveling, he suddenly bent a little. He suddenly bent a little. And then they started to, they went on with the journey. The man who was with Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he asked him, "Ya Ibn Umar, why did you do that? Why did you bend suddenly?" Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu then told that man, "I was once traveling with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and at that time there used to be an old tree and there was an overhanging branch. There was an overhanging branch at this particular location. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw that branch, he bent a little and he made his way under the branch. And I am doing it in accordance to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though there was no tree at that time. But he did it because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did so." They were so ardent in following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as you all know, he was an extremely, extremely knowledgeable companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day a person went to him and asked him a question. "Ibn Umar, can you please clarify this matter for me?" Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he thought for a while and he said, "I'm sorry, I don't know. Please go and ask the people of knowledge in this regard. Please go and ask the people of knowledge." A giant in knowledge is saying, "Go and ask the people of knowledge." The man was astounded. He said, "Ya Ibn Umar, you're telling me, you are such a great scholar, and you are telling me to go and ask the people of knowledge?" Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Yes, because I don't know in this regard. I'm not sure to give you a straightforward statement in this regard. So please go and refer to the people of knowledge." The man shook his head. He was so astounded, he was so amazed, he shook his head and made his way. And you know what Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu did? He kissed his own hand. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he kissed his own hand and said, he said to himself, you have done good today. You have done good today. You have given your ego a good beating by saying you don't know in regard to this. You don't know in regard to this. These were our Salafun As-Salih, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. These were our Salafun As-Salih. And finally, to wrap off, in regard to Basmala, coming back to the tafsir of Basmala. This was just one mas'ala that I mentioned. From the 27 or 28 masail that Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah brings, I just brought about one mas'ala. And as you can see, the khutbah is almost coming to an end. To wrap off in regard to the discussion, in regard to the rulings of Basmala, there are scholars who deem, like I said in the beginning, these three opinions as to whether Basmala is part of Suratul Fatiha or not. And then there is also a difference of opinion as to whether Basmala should be read aloud or should be read quietly in Salah. don't misunderstand that when you pray behind an imam, and if the imam does not read basmala, don't come to a conclusion that perhaps this imam deems that basmala is not part of Suratul Fatiha. But instead he could be an imam who deems that yes, basmala is part of Suratul Fatiha, but he follows the opinion that it is supposed to be read quietly. You have a difference of opinion as to whether it should be read aloud or read quietly. There is a difference of opinion. Scholars like Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah and others deem that basmala needs to be read aloud. Basmala is part of Suratul Fatiha and it needs to be read aloud. And there are others like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and others who deem that yes, basmala is part of Suratul Fatiha, but it needs to be read quietly based on the narration I gave you of Anas radiallahu anhu. Anas radiallahu anhu, he stated that I prayed behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I prayed behind Abu Bakr, I prayed behind Umar, I prayed behind Uthman radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhi majma'in, and none of them read basmala aloud. So we have evidence for this. And this could be because this imam is following that particular opinion. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, don't come to hasty conclusions when you look at the action of a particular scholar or a student of knowledge. Because at times you may not understand all the aspects in regard to the deen or in regard to that particular issue, in regard to that particular mas'ala. It is upon us to always give others the benefit of the doubt at times. And there is no reason even to give the benefit of the doubt in regard to this particular matter. But we must be careful that we do not cause rifts and divisions amongst our ummah. Today there is so much of labeling, name calling, unnecessary things. People take pride in saying, you know what, I'm this, I'm that. No, we are all the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are all Muslimun. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the hijrah, there was once an occasion where some of the Ansar, they called themselves, oh Ansar. And some of the Muhajirun, they called themselves, oh Muhajirun. They started, you know, having these titles for themselves. The Muhajirun used to call themselves, oh Muhajirun, the ones who have migrated. And the Ansar used to call themselves, oh Ansar, the helpers. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this, he very sternly asked, what is this call of Jahiliyyah? What is this call of Jahiliyyah? What are these labels? They are so repulsive. They are so repulsive. Why did he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do that? He did that, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, because he did not want them to start bickering and dividing themselves. He did not want them to fragment themselves. So likewise, we the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can follow an imam, and obviously we have to. The madhahib are here for a reason. Those who are not firmly grounded in knowledge, you have to obviously follow an imam. We have to follow the teachings of an imam. If not, it's impossible for each and every one of us to go back to the Quran and the Sunnah to deduce rulings. It's an impossible task with all of the commitments that we have. Not every one of us, we have not dedicated our lives to seeking knowledge. At times we even find it difficult to go listen to a talk or a lecture by a particular scholar for 1 hour. Then where are we going to find the time to go spend 10, 15 years like the scholars of the past? Imam Shafi'i, Imam And Nawawi rahimahullah, for example, they dedicated their lives to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Nawawi, he did not even marry. He was with his books throughout. And that's why they have written encyclopedias in regard to fiqh, in regard to so many fields. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Imam ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, such great imams. And we have no right whatsoever to talk bad about them, We have no right whatsoever. We are not even close to the dust of those scholars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep raising them in ranks. Ameen. So let us pray for those imams. And let us benefit from their teachings. Let us not call ourselves names. Let us not divide ourselves. Let us all think of ourselves as the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let us work hard. Let us strive hard to please Allah azza wa jal. So that we become from the victorious and successful ones in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah azza wa jal accept all of our good deeds. May He forgive our sins. And just as how He united us here in this masjid, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhir da'wayan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.